It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
TikTok on government devices. Knowing what you know, are you comfortable with
President
the idea
Biden
of your
and
children or family members using TikTok? Thank you.
I respond to the question first. Well, first of all, look, in 10 years, Russia and China have had 40 meetings. And I disagree with the basic premise of your question. Significantly expanded our alliances. I haven't seen that happen with China and or Russia or anybody else in the world. We're in a situation in the United States where NATO is stronger. We're all together. The G7, the Quad, the ASEAN, Japan and Korea. My staff pointed out to me, I have now met with 80% of the world leaders just since I've been president. We're the ones expanding the alliances. The opposition's not. Name for me where that's going. And tell me what I don't mean literally that, but rhetorically. Tell me how, in fact, you see a circumstance where China has made some significant commitment to Russia. And what commitment can they make? Economically.
Their trade has increased, sir.
Pardon me?
Their trade has increased, sir.
Yeah, their trade has increased compared to what? Look, I don't take China lightly. I don't take Russia lightly. But I think we vastly exaggerate. I've been hearing now for the past 3 months about China is going to provide significant weapons to Russia, and they're going to... Well, I've been talking about that. They haven't yet. Doesn't mean they won't, but they haven't yet. And if anything's happened, the West has coalesced significantly more. How about the Quad? How about Japan and the United States and South Korea? How about what we've done in terms of AUKUS? I just want to put it in perspective. I don't take it lightly what China and Russia are doing. And it could get significantly worse. But let's put it in perspective. We are uniting coalitions. We, the United States and Canada.
On TikTok, we made a similar decision to the American government and others when we said that we do not feel that the security profile is safe for government-issued phones. There are concerns around privacy.
All right. President Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau holding a joint news conference. We're going to monitor it for any breaking news. Welcome to the Five. President Biden is up north in Canada and trying to impress his pal, Justin Trudeau, on what Biden sees as a big foreign visit. But his real problems are piling up back here at home. Joe Biden is tired of putting up with Kamala's endless embarrassments. Democratic sources revealing how Joe is irked by his vice president not, quote, rising to the occasion. A former White House official says that, quote, a fear of messing up has led Harris to be late to the game on important issues, adding that a point of tension in their relationship is that the president sees her as somebody who takes anything off of his plate. Joe Biden is also concerned about Kamala's ability to beat Donald Trump, which is apparently a factor on whether he decides to run again. And if Joe wants Kamala off the ticket, it looks like it's too late.
Our Joe Biden has said he intends to run, and if he does, I will be running with him.
Joe Biden has said he intends to run for re-election as president, and I intend to run with him as vice president of the United States.
Joe Biden is running for re-election, and I will be his ticket mate.
Full stop.
Okay.
Hi.
So there you have it. Hi, Sandra. Good to have you here at the table. You know,
we didn't do the introductions.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it. Welcome to the Five. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro, and with us is Greg Gutfeld.
Yes.
Sandra Smith. Jesse Waters.
Richard
Ty.
Richard Tyler.
Richard Tyler.
Fowler.
And this Fowler. And this is the five. Thanks, guys. I really screwed that up. Richard Fowler. You know what? I owe you one, Richard.
She does. She finds me a nice pair of shoes.
Okay. All right. So here we go. That's what happens when they change the teleprompter.
Late
all right.
Canada.
So here we are, Richard Fowler. I'm going to go to you first, Richard Fowler. And I'm going to say that for the rest of the show. So I never say Richard Tyler again. All right. You know, we've heard reports that Kamala's complaining that she doesn't get enough of the real serious stuff to do. And yet it sounds like the president is saying she doesn't take some of the pressure or some of the weighty stuff off his plate enough to help him out. What's the truth?
Look, I always hate these stories with anonymous sources. I hated it during the Trump administration. I hate it now when you have, like, close sources to the president, an anonymous who only decided to speak on the story because they were anonymous, so we don't know who he or she was, so they could say whatever the hell they want. And so I have a problem with that. And look, I say this. We are about a year and a couple of months away from this election, and a lot can happen in that time frame. This time in 2021, there was a conversation about a red wave that didn't happen. I think what's working in the vice president's favor is time. And I think we're going to have to wait to see what happens. And I think while we're talking about the president and the vice president, it's also worth pointing out that we do not know who the Republican nominee is going to be. And there's going to be a bitter fight on the Republican side. So before we could figure out who's facing who or who's going to be on the Democratic ticket, we also have to figure out who's going to be on the Republican side. So there's a lot of things that has to happen. So I'm not making any predictions yet. And I think the American people need to wait to see because they haven't even had a vote on anything yet.
All right, Jesse, in Tuesday's last Monmouth poll, Biden was at 41% approval. And we heard that Biden was going to announce after Christmas. Then he was going to announce after the midterms. After the midterms, after Christmas and State of the Union. And it's still not official. Why do you think he's dragging on that decision?
He doesn't have to rush it. And he may be waiting to see what's going on with these investigations. He doesn't look that healthy. If you just saw him out there with Trudeau, he seemed exhausted. And this wasn't a trip to Asia or Europe. This was just over the border north. So I guess Jill and Joe have decided, but they have not formally announced. You know, a lot goes into these things. It's like a lot of pomp and circumstance. He was just over in Europe going, you know, behind enemy lines to Ukraine. It takes a lot for a guy who's 80 years old to get it going. And he's traditionally had a hard time making decisions. I expect him to announce. He will announce. And he will announce now with Kamala Harris as his running mate. Because if you remember in the beginning of the year, there was a lot of momentum to peel that woman off the ticket. And it wasn't just an anonymous source here. There were people on the record suggesting that they peeled this woman off the ticket. It looks like they've now resigned to themselves to the fact that she is staying on this ticket and you are stuck with Kamala Harris. And Joe Biden is stuck with Kamala Harris. And this Reuters piece tells me that Joe's saying, I'm tired. I need a little help. And she's not helping. Maybe he helped Barack Obama more than she helped him. But it's not just on the policy issues. She's not even schmoozing. One of these sources says she doesn't even go out to dinner and have drinks in Washington and make friends. Like, the establishment isn't even thrilled with her. So the donors don't like her. The establishment doesn't like her. She's less popular than Joe Biden. I think she's at 36%. Mm-hmm. So this is a marriage of convenience at this point. They're stuck with each other. And it's going to hang over their heads for a long time because an 80-year-old, everyone's going to look past them.
You know, Sandra, what Jesse's saying is very true. I mean, shouldn't Democrats be alarmed at the fact that, you know, you've got the president and the vice president. She isn't doing, some of the more visible issues and going out there on issues and proposing solutions. And we know that they don't really get along. And, you know, why aren't more Democrats stepping up to the plate when they realize Joe's numbers are bad? A few months, I think it was a month ago, we heard that there were a number of congresspeople who anonymously didn't want Joe to run. I mean, what's taking the Democrats so long to say, you know what? These two are not what we need in the party.
She sits down in friendly interview situations. She, on the global stage, she has laughed at major crises that this administration has on its plate right now. She's struggled to define the role of the vice presidency in a very recent friendly interview. as well. If you were to strip politics out of it, though, and just look at this as the first female in the White House, and as a woman watching, no matter what her decisions are, what her politics are, you sort of hope that you would see a strong leader in the White House, first female leader in the White House. So a lot of people are looking at the fact that I just ran this by my team. I said, what day was it that she was named the border czar by Joe Biden? Guess what? We looked it up a minute ago. March 24th, 2021. I mean, think about that. 2 years she's been the border czar, and we have seen a surge at our southern border this country has never seen. When was the last time you saw her talk about it or visit the border or address this as a growing, very serious situation? Look, I'll say this one last thing because I know Greg wants to get in here. But you've got single moms all over this country who are taking on second jobs to pay for their kids' education, pay for their kids' sports, to pay the grocery bills. They're not happy. That Wall Street Journal poll that came out today, people are not happy in this country, and they're worried about the future of their children in this country. And they look at the leadership in the White House. They don't see these two out there really tackling the major issues. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem for these guys. It's going to be a problem for the party come the presidential election.
You know, Greg, in terms of foreign policy, Biden only has an approval rating of 39%. Mm-hmm. Now, we just heard him talking about China and Russia. And now we've got him up in Canada. Isn't that something that is very, very worrisome to most Americans?
Well, it is kind of scary, you know, while the Chinese president's meeting with Putin, you know, our president is, you know, up in the attic with Justin. You know, it's like while Darth Vader and the shark from Jaws are planning to kill us, he's seeking help from Bambi. I mean, it's just like those two versus the other two. It's a little frightening. It's pretty funny, Joe, saying that Kamala isn't someone who takes anything off his plate. Would you? I mean, all he eats is cream of wheat and kale pectate. Nothing good there. She's supposed to be less popular than him, by the way. That's the reason why he's still in office, right? But it's interesting. The criticism about her has subtly shifted. Now they're saying she doesn't rise to the occasion. She doesn't... She had this confidence, but it hasn't been shown, right? So what that does is it takes the stink off Joe, right? Because Joe assumed she was capable, so it's on her for not stepping up. That's different than saying, I screwed the pooch by, you know, hiring this cackling deadbeat. But her speech patterns are going to be studied by scholars for centuries because she's able to use words as punctuation and pauses, but never uses words as words. This is amazing. She's able to pad the thinnest gruel with linguistic helper. It's amazing. If she had a richer vocabulary, she might get away with this, but she doesn't. So she has to keep using the same words over and over again, like she's padding a term paper. I find it highly entertaining. I'm only mad that we couldn't listen to more of that presser.
All right. Up next, Democrats losing their minds and claiming it's fascist and racist for parents to have a say in their kids' education.
I am strong. I am invincible.
This isn't just for
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
This girl is on fire.
Chick music.
Chick music.
This girl's on fire. All right, Democrats going ballistic over who should have a say in the classroom. The House just passed the GOP bill called the Parents' Bill of Rights, which guarantees mothers and fathers access to certain information about their children's schools. Not a single Democrat voted for it. Instead, they lobbed some serious claims about it.
Don't we want our children to know that slavery was wrong as I fight against slavery today that still exists?
Bills like this make schools more hostile, and make no mistake, it results in hate, bigotry, and yes, sometimes death of our students.
We need more politicians reading books Gentleman's in America time. And fewer politicians trying to censor books in America.
Dream MAGA Republicans don't want the children of America to learn about the Holocaust.
When we talk about progressive values, I can say what my progressive value is, and that is freedom over fascism.
She said it, freedom over fascism. But here's what's actually inside that bill. It guarantees mothers and fathers the right to know what is being taught. bring concerns to officials, see budgets, protect privacy, and get updates about any violence happening in the school. Republicans say all they're trying to do is empower parents.
Today was a win for every mother, every father, but most importantly, for every student in America. You have a Parents' Bill of Rights now. But unfortunately, the Democrats are too extreme to believe that parents should have a say in their kids' education.
And all of us here today are proud to say we, as House Republicans, sided with parents having a right to be involved in their kids' education. And if the Democrats are going to be too extreme, as they showed they are today, we're going to continue to fight for them anyway.
Judge, what do Democrats have issue with here? I mean, knowing what books are on the shelves in your school library, finding out what's in the budget, finding out if there's any violence happening in the schools, learning more about the curriculum happening in the classroom. What are they taking issue with here?
Well, I think what they're taking issue with, a lot of it has to do with things that parents obviously don't want their kids to know about. That is like gender affirming care. Like, we don't want kids under the age of 18 to have this kind of conversation with the school teachers unless the parents are involved. That means puberty blockers, hormone therapy, surgical procedures. But look, let's back up a minute. These kids are our kids. We pay the teachers to teach our kids. They aren't doing us any favors. We think that money should go with the child. But they, unfortunately, believe in this kind of socialist, Marxist, you know, life of Julia that Obama described several years ago, where it's the government that pays for the kids. It's the government that teaches the kids. It's government ideology, which is why we've got such craziness going on in our country right now. And it's why yesterday we talked on the Five about the fact that you've got 35,000 teachers in Los Angeles on strike, not for themselves, but in solidarity with the school district, with the bus drivers and the caretakers and the custodians. I mean, they got to start being in solidarity with our kids and recognize that the kids are ours, they're not theirs. And in the end, we need a reset, because we found out during the pandemic they were teaching our kids. I don't want my kids or my grandchildren at this point to actually see something. And Jesse did it on his show and I did it on my show of sexual acts in a book that are being given to 7-year-olds on how to have sexual acts with someone of the opposite gender or the same gender. That's not American. You're not entitled to do it. And who are you to refuse to tell me what you're teaching my kids?
Richard, you're a Democrat. What is unreasonable about the requests in this bill?
Well, look, I think for a minute you have to put partisanship aside, and I urge everybody to go to congress.gov and read this 32-page bill. I did. It was
fun.
Interesting reading. And I think it's really important you read the bill to understand what's in there, right? Because the bill does, there's things in the bill that I think are good. I think it's important for folks to know what the school budget is. I think it's important for folks to have a sense of what's in there. But I think what I found questionable about the bill is, one, how do you, its enforcement mechanisms, how do folks enforce this? And two, in the ideal of doing all these things, how do we plan on paying for this? Right? How are folks going to pay for it?
Wow, that would be the first time Democrats asked that question.
Well, no, but I mean, what this bill is mandating is for small school systems, rural school districts all across the country to post all these lists, put all these things on the internet, mandating two times a year parent conferences, which I think they should do. But how do you pay for this without hiring a parent coordinator? How do you do
things?
First of all, how much does it cost to set up a parent-teacher conference? I'll do one right now. Are you available on Wednesday?
If you have 30 children in a class,
I will be there. That costs nothing.
I think first of all, I think you're simplifying a very more complex problem, number one. And number two, if we're having a conversations about books and libraries, it's worth pointing out that 15% of America's public schools don't have libraries. And beyond that, since 2018, we've seen a precipitous fall in the number of librarians in schools all across the country.
Where are you going with this, Richard?
My point is here is if we're going to have a conversation about how we fix our schools, we should also talk about the resources going into our schools.
Okay, I don't know.
Instead of just labeling bills as parent bill of rights when they're not actually rights.
There's plenty of money, Richard. We just drove as much money as possible down the teachers' union's throats. They're lying, Sandra. They come out and say, you're getting taught in school that slavery was right. Give me one example where students are being taught that slavery was right. And then they say they're trying to censor books. Yeah, The books with, like, let's act it out, Greg. Come
yes.
Here. Come closer.
Yes.
That's close enough. Graphic sexual positions acts. Yeah, we want those books banned. Like, so if you can show me which book is that, we'll light it on fire. Or at least put it in the adult library. Or how about this? They're not learning about the Holocaust? I mean, everybody learns about the Holocaust. So you're getting members of Congress straight up lying, and they can't even lie from their heart. They have to read the lies that their staff wrote to them. And this is why it is impossible to have a conversation with these people.
Okay.
Because if you're just going to lie and not get called out on it, then we can't ever move forward.
Yeah, I always love the, if we're going to have a conversation, if we're going to have a conversation, then you have the conversation. And what do? They falsely accuse you of being a domestic terrorist. Parents went to the school boards to have a conversation. And what happened? The FBI opened a probe on them. And then you know what happened after that? Nothing. There was zero evidence of a legitimate threat. Was that reported on in the media? Only at Fox. House Republicans did it. The media didn't bother to follow up on these threats. They didn't try to find out who these domestic terrorists were. God forbid they wanted to get between their teachers and their kids. And do not fall for the big lie about privacy. When you hear, you know, grab your kids. When a liberal activist says we're concerned about a child's privacy, because what they're saying is they're trying to get between you and your child. There is no privacy. Right? Children are children, right? Parents are in control of their privacy. They have to look out for them. Don't pretend that like a four-year-old is this independent being with its own privacy. I didn't get a lock on my door until I was 15.
I never got one.
And even then, you can still pick it with a credit card. Here's the deal, right? This is, you know, what are my notes?
It's okay.
It's
all about age. It's all about age. By the way, it's important, not important. Okay. Right. If you're gonna school us on education, pronounce the damn T in important. All right. So here's the deal. There's zero evidence at all that there's any kind of threat, but they painted parents as domestic terrorists. They got away with that, right? We can't let it happen again. The Republican Party is becoming the party for parents. The Democratic Party is becoming the party of the unhappy single female activist. It has become the party of Karens. The Republicans are now the party of couples and children. And now they're being demonized because they actually give a damn, because they're going to show up, because they're going to talk about it. I think they realize that they're kind of like up against the wall here. They backed the wrong horse.
Sadly, none of that's in this bill.
No, I read the bill.
Did you read it?
Yes, I read the bill. What's your favorite part? What was the most important part of it?
If you believe everything you said, there's no enforcement mechanism in this bill.
I believe everything I said.
But there's no enforcement mechanism in this bill to make everything you said happen.
All right. Enforcement mechanism. Damn.
All right, I got to leave it there. But this will continue in the commercial break, I'm sure. Coming up, Biden's energy secretary praising China again as a model for America on climate.
I've always had trouble falling asleep.
Democrats just can't stop praising China. Joe Biden's energy secretary, Jennifer Granholm, doubling down on her desire that the Chinese give us lessons on climate change. Listen.
Are you aware that 30% of the world's CO2 emissions came from China?
Oh, yes.
Are you aware, at the time you made that comment also, that China emits more than the U.S., the entire EU and Japan combined?
Oh, yes.
Would you like to retract your praise for China?
No, my praise for China was on what they are doing to invest in clean energy, even as they are the world's largest emitter.
Okay, Greg, I'm going to go to you first. Did you see something behind?
Donuts and croissants.
Yeah, I noticed
donuts
that.
And croissants. That's what we're paying for.
Yeah,
they're carb addicts. They're not leaders. Hey, by the way, she's saying we should be like China. It's basically no different than, you know, saying, well, at least Mussolini got those trains to run on time. Yeah, he's a fascist dictator. And they'll talk. But then they'll talk about his investment in infrastructure and the rail industry. That is now the climate industry, right? Our worst offenders can get away with everything as long as they make some cursory gesture to the climate gods, and then the climate gods will look away from your myriad of abuses. It's like companies like Apple. You know, Apple has this great ESG rating, which is what, environmental social governance score, but the product relies on cheap labor, a lot of carbon to get all that ore out of the ground. So if you mouth the platitudes, you get away with it. Grantholm just proved it. China, it's like
Granholm.
Granholm.
It's Granholm. Granholm. Pronounce it correctly, Greg. Yeah.
But you know what? Whoa. That's the first time I've ever said her name. How many times have you said it?
You've never said
in your life.
You've never said Granholm.
When do I ever need to say her name? I'm going to
China's just killed a million Americans. Why is she trying to do business with the Chinese after all that death?
No, but we need to be asking that question. Sorry, Judge. We need to be asking that question. How much of our lithium for those batteries that go into these EVs that we're pushing, how much comes from China still?
A lot.
I placed this phone call today.
75%.
It's over that. It's 75% still at the latest count. So every time we push everybody into these EVs in this country, even though the transition isn't ready, people can't afford them, they don't even like them, they return them half the time, we're sending more and more money to China.
Yeah, there's no question. I want to go next.
All right.
Is that okay?
I will
give my time to Richard Fowler.
What is happening?
Okay, forget it. All right, now listen, here's the thing. China is now the OPEC of green energy because whether it's 70 or 75% of lithium, and it's just like when I sentence someone to murder, right? I'm ready to sentence that person to life in prison. And the defense attorney says to me, well, you know, we made a charitable contribution of $25. I don't give a damn. He killed somebody. And that's what's the problem with the ambivalence of Granholm and this whole administration.
It's Granholm.
At least you pronounced the name right.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry.
I actually tend to agree with you, Judge. And here's what we know. We know that China has horrible CO2 emissions because their linkages, their interconnectivity to America's economy has created them to pollute so much. And connected to the developed world and the fact that we're doing so much trade and there's so much production happening there. There's also human rights abuses, and their policies towards accountability and transparency are terrible.
And she just praised them.
As a result, of that, any type of investments they make in clean energy is going to bring their pollution down because they're polluting so much, right? So you're going to see a precipitous fall in their CO2 emissions if they're saying, oh, we're polluting so much, so any drawback that we do is going to be good.
Their emissions have gone up since they've gone green.
They're building more coal-powered plants to make the lithium and the batteries.
That's the point that I'm making. Just like you said, if you're somebody who murdered somebody and then you make a charitable contribution, it's like,
who cares about the charitable?
Yeah, but
you murdered someone.
If you're a terrible, 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 terrible person, you do one good thing, the good thing looks so good because you're such a terrible person.
No, I ignore it.
Yeah.
Right. So are you saying they're polluting the world more than anybody because they're linkage to the American? It's our fault?
No. I'm saying that they're the number one. They're doing so much. They're the world's largest manufacturer. Period.
All right.
We got
Richard Wass.
Do you want to do fan mail or not?
That was a good segment, everybody. Yes. Let's get out of here. The Fastest is up next.
I'm Barbara.
You just bother everybody else.
Yeah. Welcome back. It's time for the Fastest.
No. Oh, Lord.
First up, did you know that 1 in 5 people suffer from misophonia? It's a condition where certain noises like chewing, tapping, and breathing can cause you to feel anxious and sometimes even angry. Sandra, I think you suffer from this.
I didn't know it till we just did the segment.
I diagnosed you.
I don't like the sound of people clipping their nails. Have you ever heard somebody do that on a train or something?
On public transportation.
Plane? Worst. I don't like the loud scent of the hood, the vent over your stove. Just drives me bonkers. And then if you're cleaning the dishes, I love my husband, but he turns the sink on like full. Like,
your husband does the dishes, you cannot complain.
I just thought of that as I said it.
Yeah.
Now, I might not be a medical professional, but I'm going to urge you to seek one.
And maybe chewing. If you're in a quiet room and you have to hear somebody, like, you know, chomp on their potato chips, like, I don't enjoy it.
I don't think it's just the chewing per se. It's like when people chew with their mouths open.
Smacking.
I want to slap him. I want to say, did your mother
have some of this?
Screw you. Yeah, that's it.
Greg?
I don't know if this is actually a disorder because nobody is saying something that somebody likes, right? So it's all basically the same. You already know what I don't like. Drop T's, right? I don't want to make a mountain. I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill, but it's important to say your T's.
Like Richard Tyler.
Oh, shut up.
So outside of Jesse, the three of y'all should go seek medical attention. All right, up next. People are buying mini mansions to spoil their dogs rotten. One guy spent tens of thousands of dollars on a two-story compound of a contemporary house for his pooch with a security camera, smart lights, and a sliding door. Now, Judge Janine, rumor has it that you bought a house for your pigs?
Yes, yes. So I'll make it real fast. So I'm reading Charlotte's Web to my kids, and they're like, Mommy, can we have a Wilbur? I said, you're going to get two Wilbers. So there's the pig house. There's the pig near the barbecue. Wilbur and Homer, they had their own house that was heated because they were Vietnamese pot bellies, so I figured they're used to the hot weather. Then I had a concrete patio because they didn't want them to sink in the mud. Do you know why pigs roll in the mud?
To get cooled off.
Because they need to cool off, so I bought them a swimming pool. And then I put lights so the raccoons don't go in there and beat them up.
Now, Greg, you also bought a house for your dog, Gus, allegedly, I hear.
That's, you heard wrong.
Oh. Listen, I'm just, the producers told me that you bought something like.
The thing is, the dog doesn't know the difference between being homeless or living with Lady Gaga. And it sucks.
So your dog lives with Lady Gaga.
No, what I'm saying is I'm a rich and famous person, and my dog doesn't care. And that really bums me out.
Okay. Did you steal Lady Gaga's dog? Is that what you just said?
Lady Gaga. I'm the real kidnapper.
So your dog
shooters.
So you see, I don't even know what's happening with your dog and Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Sandra.
I don't spoil my dog at all. Everybody spoils their dog. Buying a house, a little bit much. But I do have a house in the woods that is essentially so my dog can run. So I cannot be a critic of this.
Jesse.
No, I don't spoil my dog. Why would you say that?
You let him run in the creek?
That's what he likes, Judge.
Spoiling.
Look at that haircut. That's a nice little job.
And
right
then
there.
You clean him up.
No, I don't clean him. The twins do. I don't get my hands dirty with that kind of stuff. I got to keep my fingernails clean.
Is that what you call your hands? The twins? I let the twins take care of that.
Yeah. I have a cat and she's not spoiled. And Fan Mail Friday's up next.
Oh, boy.
These must have cost a fortune.
I got plenty. Fan Mail Friday. Let's do this. Oh. First one from Doxy. Do you attend high school unions or would you, high school reunions, or would you, I have to go to you, Jesse, because you seem like the type that would want to go to your reunion and lord over all the losers, all the people who bullied you.
Yeah. I went to one of my high school reunions. And I had a pretty good time.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, I had a really good time. And then I stopped going. You don't want to be the guy that keeps going year after year.
Exactly. There's a problem with that. Richard, you're too young. Did you just get out of high school?
Exactly. Yeah. I've only had one that never really happened. So we've only had our finished.
Did you go?
No.
No.
Didn't happen. Didn't happen.
Kind of weird. It's weird, Judge. You ever go to one? No?
No.
Any desire to?
No, I only did 3 years, and I kind of felt like I didn't graduate with everybody.
Oh, because you were in all the advanced classes?
She's rapping how smart she is.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. That's what I said. I did.
Sandra?
No, no interest.
No interest?
Zero interest. In case somebody's watching, I had a perfectly fine experience in high school.
All right.
I just don't have interest.
I get it. You're a mean girl. Okay. So, second question. Boy, talk about weirdness. What is one word you can never pronounce right? From Frenchie. I will actually go first because I have, what's the word?
Important.
No, memoir.
A memoir.
Memoir.
Oh. Memoir.
Pinot Noir.
No.
Film noir.
No. Right. Overdoing.
N-O-I-R.
It's noir. It's not noir. Don't leave your mouth
hanging
open. What
about you, Jesse? Jesse, it's amazing you know the alphabet.
How about inoculate? Is that a word?
That's pretty good.
That's good.
You did okay.
Yeah, I had to practice before the show. I actually saw the question ahead of time.
You cheater!
You did?
I made that up. I know everything.
Okay.
Judge?
Foie gras.
Oh, yeah, foie gras. But that's a French word, foie gras.
It didn't say English.
Yeah, it didn't, but that's true.
Foie.
Well, that's why I like film noir, Pinot Noir.
You're doing it to be obnoxious.
Yes, yes. I'm being a Jesse, Sandra.
I, as a child, a very young child, I used to always say apartment, and for some reason I just hung on to it.
Apartment? It's like,
apartment. That's like library. We're going to the library.
Like, yeah, apartment?
Are we being honest here?
Yes.
I'm being honest. It's something I carried into my adulthood. I know the difference. I actually choose to just keep saying it because it's just.
All right, Richard.
It's you.
What? You can take a bye on this one. Since
no, I won't do that. I'm a good sport. So I always, the biggest mistake I always make is ideal and idea.
Really?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I know people who say idea. That's a great idea. Cavuto.
Kafuta is not
but that's
Southern.
But that depends upon, that's an accent, though. That's not necessarily a mispronounced word.
Oh, sure. Man, he owned
Who's
you.
To say
Damn it. What's your, okay, we have time for one more. What's your homemade remedy for a hangover? Richard, you must have one.
Two Tylenols and water.
Jesse?
Bacon, egg, and cheese, Gatorade, Advil.
Oh, that goes right through you.
Eat a salad, go for a run.
You make
what?
Me sick.
Come on, Sandra.
How do you go for a run?
That's not a remedy.
That Judge. Actually works, though.
Advil.
Advil?
Yeah.
Wait, she doesn't drink.
That's right.
No, I really don't.
No, you don't. You don't.
I don't.
I haven't had a hangover in decades.
Neither have I.
You're yeah, always hungover.
I can literally remember.
Is that because Joe was drunk? What happened?
Told me you were hungover.
Is that because you're always drunk?
That's like 15 years ago. A decade and a half. That's red eye days.
Okay.
I'll take that. One more thing. Up next.
It's Camping World's 57th birthday.
It's time now for one more thing, and we are starting with Richard Fowler. Hit it, Richard.
This is never going to get old. I love it. A 106-year-old veteran from Tampa is sharing his secret to long life. Bill Manford was born in 1916, and he can remember when the Band-Aid was invented. He's lived through 19 presidents, a kamikaze attack in World War II, and he says the secrets to longevity is close relationships, a healthy diet, and a great sense of humor. And he says this, eat your vegetables and hug your loved ones over the weekend. So big shout out to Mr. Bill.
Wow. Eat your vegetables, everybody. Okay. Raymond Arroyo has written a book, The Unexpected Light of Thomas Alva Edison. And I spoke to Raymond a little earlier, and he told me that Thomas Edison's teacher said he was stupid. So his mother took him home and homeschooled him, and he became Thomas Edison, the genius. But just goes to show you, those teachers didn't know back then what they were talking about. But a Colorado woman, this is my one more thing, is reunited with her camera she lost 13 years ago. Imagine, you're on a tubing trip.
Love it.
13 years later, a fisherman stumbles upon the camera in a shallow water. The memory card was surprisingly still intact with photos of the tubing trip, bachelor party, and a wedding. The fisherman knew he had to find the owner, and he did with the help on a local Facebook group. I guess it's true. Memories never die.
Love it.
All right, Greg.
Didn't Thomas Edison steal everything from Nikola Tesla?
No, from China.
Just checking. All right, tonight, Michelle Tafoya, Jim Florentine, Cat Tim Tyrus. This is a great show. You don't want to miss it. Let's do this.
Animals are great. Animals are great. Animals are great.
Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba. You know, when I want to feel good, I go to Asheville, North Carolina, and I find a tree. And then I go down by that tree, and I lean against that tree. It's a specific tree. Not all the trees make me feel this good, but boy, does this one hit the spot. Oh, right there, right there, right there. Oh, yeah, oh yeah. Look how excited he is. That was Deborah Howell's tree, by the way. Deborah, great job keeping that tree in shape for my bear. Look at that, huh? Look at that, huh? He could dance at any club.
I was just going to say, put some music to
it. Yeah, I'd like to slip him a 20.
Yeah,
or her.
Slip him a 20?
Yeah.
All right.
Inflation.
Jesse.
Jesse, zebra news. Here we go.
Oh, not another. Don't shoot
zebras.
It. Don't shoot it.
The zebra broke out of the zoo in South Korea, just running down the alleyways. And
he's beautiful.
Unfortunately, they had to put it out of its misery. Viewer warning.
Are you going
to
show it?
They used a crossbow.
No.
Sadly,
no,
the arrow actually didn't penetrate the heart, the first shot. So they had to come over with a six shooter.
Why are you on, though?
Are you doing this again?
What are you doing this again?
No, no, no. They just threw a blanket over it.
Oh, my God.
Tonight, Jesse Waters prime time. This is good. Windmills are spying on us.
That was fantastic.
Okay, wait a minute. Back up to the zebra. What? That guy had a long thing. What was that?
It was a zebra.
No. All right. They tranquilize
tranquilizer.
It. Okay.
All right. Let's talk about Ronnie Callum. Ronnie Callum drove past a burning home.
Oh.
This is a beautiful story. He immediately jumped into action to make sure everybody was okay in that home. He quickly learned from young resident Kai Brown that his grandmother was still trapped in the house. Kai had been trying to get her out, but the two fell, and he couldn't get her back up on his own. Ronnie was able to get Jenny Brown to the door to safety, and soon after firefighters arrived to extinguish the fire, the reunion was an emotional one at the firehouse in Westland, Oregon. And we love all our first responders.
Yep.
We love residents who step into action. And
that's awesome. One of the things that bothered me. Remember we were talking about noises? The screeching sound of the fire engine.
That's it for us. We'll see you back here on Monday. Everybody, have a great weekend. Goodbye, Richard.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.